All right, folks, back at the Patrick Gale Show. We're back at you. Another guest here down from South Florida. Coach's team, Gold Coast, doing his thing, man. Got great players and great program out there down in South Florida, and where as warm as it can be in the island brief with day flooding that we talked about last week. And it's Coach Stephon Whittingham here with Coach Kelly Foss. What's good, Coach?
Man, what's good? How's that? Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate being here.
No doubt. Well, I was wanting to kind of let those who don't know you, who there's not outside South Florida, know about your program at the at your high school, man, here at Coral Glades High School, man, and just talk about your journey to getting them, brother.
Obviously, I played in college. I played at Lincoln University. In between playing and deciding a full-time coach, got into tr coaching travel basketball with Coach Ben and Team Breakdown. Coached them for a few years and then ended up becoming an assistant coach at North Broward Prep. Was there for a few years, was then moved on to Stoneman Douglas, where I was an assistant with Coach Teddy, who's kind of like my mentor, one of the guys in the game who I kind of look up to. And then I became a head coach. After 1 year of being assistant with Coach Teddy, I was the head coach at Fort Lauderdale. Same thing I was kind of telling you, they kind of didn't believe in the vision that I wanted to have. So we had to kind of make a pit stop. Well, not a pit stop. We had to make a change to Coral Glades, where now we've been here for, this will be my upcoming fifth season. Every year we've gotten better. A program who, when I joined it, they were 4-22. Last year we finished 21-8, best season that the school has ever had. Right now we have, I want to say, about five guys who I believe have Division I talent. But I do have a full senior class who will play college basketball this year. And I also have my travel basketball program, where the best independent program in Florida. And we beat shoe teams, we beat everybody. Our guys are as talented as they possibly can because they work harder than a lot of guys in the nation.
Hey, Coach Whittingham, you're being very modest. So I like to give coaches their flowers. First of all, I love coming to your practices. You do such a great job. You have such a great basketball mind. You prepare your guys for the next level. I would disagree with you. I think you have about seven guys that could play Division I basketball because they understand, what role they need to play, offensively and defensively. Talk about, you're young as a coach. Your journey was awesome. A lot of coaches watching this would love to, kind of be you as far as getting their shot to be a head coach. What did it take to be a head coach being so young? And what is the vision that you're talking about that you said that you're seeing, bear fruit right now?
So the what it takes to become a head coach, in all reality, my goal was just to be the best assistant that I possibly could be. I was really, really focused and locked in. When I say I'm gonna do something, man, I'm all in on it. Game plans, practice plans, everything, anything that head coach needed, I pretty much did it. And then that kind of put my name out there that I was, good enough to be able to take on a head coach job. And now, as a head coach, it's even more work. It's a lot harder than it looks from the outside in. We wake up at 5 a.m. every single morning. Summers we wake up at 7, but 5 a.m. in the morning workouts. Then we're back at it at 3 p.m. And then we open the gym in the afternoon for kids to come and get shots up at 7:30 at night. My assistant coach will open it. But it's not easy. It's extremely, extremely, extremely hard. And what our goal was when we joined together as a group, because my freshman, well, my senior group right now have been together since freshman. We want to win a state championship. Our goal is to won a state championship. Last year we were one game away. Should have got it done, but fell short. We're truthfully a team who is really good the second time. That's one of the things that I've learned through my group, is that we always need a chance at opportunity to develop and grow and kind of see where we lacked to be able to get back to it and attack it the right way. And we've done that every year. We've made one step closer, district championship, district regional quarterfinals, regional semis, and last year we made it to the regional championship. So this is our year that we believe that if we do what we're supposed to, we're going to break through and win a state championship this year.
No doubt. And for those listening out there, talk about being a good assistant. Cause I know assistants come in different shades and colors and styles. So talk about what it meant for you to mean to be a good assistant and to really support the head coach and taking your assistant responsibilities to now being a head coach and kind of saying now what you want your assistants to do for you.
So a crazy story. My first job as an assistant coach at the high school level was with a great coach, an absolute great coach. He's had so much success. His success kind of started obviously while I was there. The program started to build, and now they're also a national program who's been nationally ranked, who's won really big games. And one of the biggest things that I took from that situation was always involve your assistant coaches. They want to feel as if they are part of a team. They don't want to just show up every single day and have no say and walk into a game and not know what's going on. I think that was one of the places where I struggled with, because that's what I wanted as an assistant coach. That's what I looked, and I didn't really get that. And it was one of the staples that I took. Hey, when I become a head coach, I'm gonna make sure that I never do that. And for me, it was like, I want to support him. Whatever our head coach needs, we need to take one job off of his shoulder, each of us assistants together. And we have eight assistants. If each of us can take one job off his shoulder, that means he can focus on doing his job, which is coaching that game every single night and being able to be there and support him at every single practice. Just whatever coach needed, you had to be, you just can't have any pride or an ego. You have to understand that it's not about you, it's about the kids when it comes down to it. So as long as you put yourself in position to help those kids be successful, then I think that you're doing a great job as an assistant, as long as you're not, kind of just skipping steps and different things like that.
So, Coach, I have a question for you because I remember last year around this time, maybe a few weeks earlier, we saw each other in Georgia with you guys, and I was just looking at you, shaking my head like, Coach, you don't stop, man, and you have like a family dynamic with your travel team. Talk about the work-life balance of being not just you have a vision of not just being a winning high school coach, but you really want to help your young men. This is where we kind of connect. You really, really want to help your young man go to the next level. You do not talk about yourself. You only talk about your kids. You're so professional. You send out text messages every week and everything that each young man that has done. I think you run your socials as well. So talk about just your work-life balance, man, because I know you don't have one.
So yeah, it is a it's a tough balance. And thank the Lord that I have a family that supports me through it, because they see my ultimate goal of where I want to go. Of course, I want to coach at the collegiate level, and truthfully, someday in the NBA. This is kind of the first time that I've ever told anybody outside of my close circle, but I want to coach in college, and someday I want to coach in the NBA as a head coach. But it's a tough balance. It's a really tough balance. I have a family who supports me, but truthfully, it comes down to, I feel like I grew up in a time where there weren't as many resources. There weren't 100 travel teams. There were only two in our area at the time, three. And if you weren't on those travel teams, you had a really slim chance at playing high level basketball after high school. And for me, I wanted to step in and be that person to make sure that a kid never has to deal with that. I don't want any of my kids to fall short because of a resource, or something that I could potentially help with. Sending a kid to college doesn't just mean, like going to whatever a to FAU and go and talk to that coach and hope that they offer my kid. There's more than just FAU. There's a thousand different colleges that I can reach out to help my guys get to the level that they deserve to play at. Not everybody's going to be a Division I basketball player, but there is a level for all of our guys, especially at Coral Glaze, because we play at the highest level of high school. If we can play at the highest level of high school, we can play somewhere in college. And you're right, I do send out text messages. I send out yesterday, I probably sent out 500 different text messages about Brandon and Gavin. And I do it every day. After we get off the phone, I'm going to send out some more text messages about another player on my team. But my goal is to make sure that I'm doing everything in my power so that a coach can't say, well, we didn't know about him. And that's if a coach didn't know about any of my guys, that means the coach just isn't doing their job. And in reality, a college coach job is to recruit the best possible players, and bring together a team that can get the job done at the next level. And I believe all of my guys come from a program where they're taught the right things. They do things that are going to translate to the next level. They care about winning more than their individual stats. And, what's disappointed me this summer is the fact that coaches aren't recruiting that. At least that's what it seems like to me. And I'm not saying that they aren't, because obviously I haven't talked to every coach, but it's extremely disappointing to see, kids who work extremely hard, who are talented enough, and you get a text message saying, hey, well, we want to recruit them, but we only want to recruit them if they come to our elite camp. We only want to recruit them if, this and that or whatever it is. But, I get it, but film says a lot, especially when it's 40 minutes of highlight film. Every clip that we send out is about 4 to 5 minutes. Now, if I could send you 10 throughout the season, that's 40 minutes of real game film playing against high level basketball. And just between me being extremely transparent about our guys, I'm never going to send somebody to a level they don't belong. That's the biggest part to me, because I tell all of my guys, if I lie and say, hey, he can play Division I basketball and he's not a Division I player, then guess what? That school won't recruit any of my future kids who are coming up the pipeline. And that's the last thing that I want. I want all of our guys to have a fair shot and a real opportunity when it comes to being recruited.
And coach, I talk a lot of coaches, as we talked about. A lot of them don't want to recruit high school guys. They want, especially with this 5-and-5 rule, you think they make change? Because I know a lot of them want to be old and stay old, and rather just have some guys who are established per se. So how do you combat coaches who now want to just get old and stay old? And how do you this 5-and-5 rule maybe would get high school kids another more of a look than they have been with all this since post-COVID, as the game has got older?
So in reality, all I'm gonna say is, like, I truthfully believe that the older guy thing is a cop out. I totally get, yeah, he's older, he's more experienced, blah, 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 whatever. But I think it's a cop out. I have guys who play against college guys every single day in practice. Being older doesn't make you better. And we have Division I guys, we have Division II guys, we have every level in our gym. And they still struggle to guard our high school guys. So that's just saying that coaches are kind of just looking for a cop out. Older doesn't make you better. It never has and it never will. Talent and skill makes you better. So that's what coaches should be evaluating. And yeah, you're going to say the physical part, but you know how many freshmen come into the NCAA and have great freshman year? All of the big time schools are still doing it. Every high major school is still recruiting freshmen and playing them. But, you know, our mid majors or low majors are saying no, but we're combating younger guys with older guys. And, you know, I don't know if that really makes sense because in reality, I mean, a lot of the younger guys are still going and getting signed and getting drafted. So if it's just about winning, then, you know, I don't know if we're going about it the right way. That's just my opinion.
Well, I can't speak on, you know, one in particular that's now a freshman at Kennesaw State, Kyler Theopile. That's his pronouncing his
Theophil,
last name, Theophile.
Kyler
So I just know him as Kyler. You know, when I talk
Theophil,
to him and I talk to, you know, one of my former players that's on your staff, Coach Milligan, and I told Kyler to his face, I said, "Man, you're special. I don't care how young, you know, you are, you're special." And I saw him against some of your college guys that came back, and he was clearly the best player on the floor. And every time I see you, I always ask about him, and you're telling me, hey, he's doing really well. So just talk about him in particular. And I want you to talk about him in the perspective of, because I like to put things, I'm big on faith. So you're a college coach speaking to yourself as a high school coach. And talking about Kyler as a first-year kid, as a freshman, and this learning curve, and talking to yourself about how special Kyler is.
I mean, Kyler is, man, he's a kid that every coach dreams about. You know, in reality, he's the most humble, come from the greatest, family. Mom is just, coach, whatever is needed, just let us know he's yours. Just take care of him. Make sure that he goes to school. Make sure that he's doing what he's supposed to do. Most importantly, make sure that he turns into a good man. And she trusted me with him, and you know, it turned out how it was supposed to. Kyler's a kid who, and it's just so crazy to talk about because Kyler, and I tell this story to people because a lot of kids in this generation wouldn't have taken it the way that Kyler took it. And I think this is a story that, you know, a lot of people should hear. Kyler, transferred to us his junior year, came into his junior year. We brought him in to be the man. We brought him in to be, hey, you're our guy, you're everything. We're going to build our program, you know, around you and what you're doing. He had a good season. Not saying he didn't have a good season. He finished averaging like 12 points per game, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, something like that as a junior. And after the season, what I told Kyler was, you let us down. You know, you not that you let us down it with your work ethic or whatever, but you weren't the player that we brought you in to be. You didn't hold up the standard of being the best player on the floor every single time you touched the floor. And you know, we expect a lot more from you this season. You need to wake up. You need to wake up every single morning. You need to run a mile. He had a big checklist of things that he had to do in order to get to Kennesaw or get to the Division I level. And instead of being a kid like, coach, man, you know, like you just want to talk bad down him. He's a kid that's like, coach, you know, like you're right. You know, I need to be better. I need to work harder if I want to hit this goal. And he kept it on his phone screen for, I don't know, for all I know, he might still have it on his phone screen right now. But he used that as motivation and fueled him to get to where he is this actual day. And I know he's gonna kill it as a freshman because he works. He's a worker, he's in the gym, he's going to outwork the man in front of him, and that's like a staple in our program. Everything is earned. Nothing is given. If you want to step on the floor at Coral Glades, you're going to have to earn it. And I think that's where some kids who transfer into Coral Glades struggle because they come from programs or other places where it's just given to them. And we say, no, you're going to kind of have to go through a phase of earning everybody's trust, showing us that you can do this and that you want to be here. And a lot of guys struggle with that like incoming phase of being able to having to earn. And Kyler was like, I'm all for earning it. I'm all for outworking the next man. And that's why he's going to be successful. And I know he's going to be a pro.
And how do you go about player development for each young man? I know some coaches tend to just do blanket development plans, but how do you go about development plans for a young man tailored to his game, not just, everybody's aware with a broad stroke? And secondly, how do you go about marketing yourself to young men in this, to want to transfer into your program?
So the development for me, I believe, is individual. I mean, there's no way that I can, develop. We have a kid named Sam. He's a 6'9" kid. There's no way we could develop Sam the same way that we develop Gavin. They're two completely different players. They have two different games. Every kid has their own individual regimen that we put them through. So at the end of every season, like I was telling you guys, we have an exit meeting. We have an exit meeting with every single kid who played varsity and our projected kids to move up to varsity. We sit down and we talk to them. We have like a very specific set of questions. What did you do well this season? What didn't you do well this season? What do you need to work on next season? What do you want to add to your game? And it's a list of about eight, nine things that we ask them. And after we do that, we break it down into a category of whatever, these five things that we want them to work on this summer. We break it down. And every morning when they come into the gym, their goal is to look at it, talk to us specifically, and we put them through specific workouts because we have multiple coaches at majority of our workouts, but it's broken down into wings, forwards, sorry, guards, wings, and our forwards. So every time they come in, each group is broken down together and they work. All of our, and one of the things that we do, every workout in our summer is optional. It's optional. We do not make it mandatory. If you want to get better, you'll show up. That's simple. It's that simple. If you want to get better, you'll wake up and you'll show up. If you don't want to get better, you'll feel the, the repercussions in the season when other guys are taking jumps and you're refusing to. I'm sorry, I forgot the second part of the question.
With pretty much asking you about showcasing your program to make it
Oh, okay,
somewhere
yeah, now I
other young men
remember. I got
will
it.
want to transfer into.
So I mean, to tell the truth, we don't really do any marketing whatsoever. Our biggest part is we send everybody who comes to our school to college. I think that's the biggest marketing that there can be. We've had a, truthfully, we've had a 100% ratio. Every kid who wanted to go to college has gone to college. Our senior class last year was Jamari, Kyler, Darion. Darion decided that he didn't want to the year before that. All three of our seniors went the year before that. All four of our seniors went. And then the year before that, we had a group of six who signed. So every single year since I've been here, our whole class has signed. And this year won't change. I think kids want to play for, want a coach who they can relate to. So I'm not too old, but I'm not too young. But I'm also a coach who knows that, nobody wants to do this for fun. You want to go in, you want to do this to hit your goal. You want to go to college. You want to play at the highest possible level that you can play at. And our goal is to get you there. And we've done an extremely great job of sending our kids to college because I'm going to work. Any kid who's going to wake up at 5 a.m. for me, then come back and work at 3 p.m. and then show up again at 7:30 to get shots up. Who am I as a guy to say, like, I can't send out a few emails. I can't send out a few text messages. I can't make a few phone calls. That's going against everything that I'm telling them by waking up at 5 a.m. and coming to work for me, that I can't put in some extra time and work for them.
Coach, that's a great point because I just learned something today. I didn't know it was optional because number one, you had such a large group in your workouts. But number two, every time there'll be different times that I'll come see you. I may come see you in your after evening workouts. I may come see you in the morning. And I can't believe you're either telling me if I'm there, at 7:30. Yeah, we were here at 5 o'clock. We'll be here at 5 o'clock tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And then if I get there at 5 o'clock, you're like, yeah, we were here till 9 o'clock, 9:30 last night. And I'm like, man, coach, do you get any sleep? But what the thing that I really love about, you on the floor is how you relate to the kids, your communication style. And I think it's to me, it's funny that you say that you want to coach an NBA because I think it has some elements of that. Because although you're very competitive, I don't even think you really raise your voice like that. You're more of a demanding, hold people accountable, but without berating. So it makes sense that it's an optional thing because I think kids want to be around you. Just talk about just your coaching style as compared to the environment of young people, not just high school or college, but pros, how they want to be coached and how you fit that.
So I base my coaching style off of truthfully how I would want to be coached. In all reality, I played basketball, I played in college, I played overseas. Like, I know how I wanted to be coached. I knew that I wanted a coach who would always hold me accountable. I was never a guy who wanted to cut corners. I always wanted to, if I miss the time, please catch me. Like, I want to be held accountable. I want to do whatever it takes to get better. That's how I was wired. I always wanted to work. And I think that this generation, they want to work. They do want to work. They're actually a generation who wants to be in the gym. But the thing about it is, in all reality, I just don't think that enough coaches are willing to put in the time to get them in the gym as much as they would like. And I think that's one of the things that, put me in a place to be able to, like you said, have kids who want to transfer into our school and want to be successful. Like, one of the biggest things is for us is every rep that I take is one step closer to, my ultimate goal. If I want to, whatever, let's say it's 20,000 shots to master jump shooting. Well, guess what? We need to get as many reps as we possibly can until we can get there to become the best possible shooter that we can be. So, just being able to obviously be in a space where I'm also not too far away from this generation. Some of the things that they do is funny to me. And some of the things that they do is like, I can't believe that you guys are doing that. But, I'm not too far away from it where it's not like, okay, well, these are a weird group of kids. It's just, no, these are just how kids are now. And, I'm very adjusting. I'm not as lenient when it comes to us being on the court with things like that. But off the court, I'm all about whatever makes them happy. Whatever is going to keep you guys in a great space. That's how I want our environment to be because that means you guys will always be comfortable. Very, very, I try to reach out to our guys too. I try to talk to my guys as much as I can. I try not to be too intrusive because we're together year round, where I'm with them all the time. So I do try and give them their space. But we are family, like you said, we're family knit. We try to take care of our guys. As you see, one of our guys, his dad passed away a month ago, exactly a month ago. And our whole team was there to support him. That those are the type of things that matter for us. There's not a thing in the world that could have made me miss being there for Ethan. It's nothing. There's nothing that was going on. I don't care what was going on. I was going to be there. And I made it very known to all of our players that it's extremely important for you guys to be there too. We're a family. We're going to support our family. We're going to be there for our family. And I think that's also why our guys are so open to passing the ball and playing as a team because they genuinely like each other. They actually believe that we are a family because we are. And I think that's why we have had more success every single year, because our guys just keep getting closer.
And let me ask you this question, because I know things are becoming more regimented now. I was a kid that played three sports,
Okay.
football being my best sport, basketball being the second, baseball being the third. So how do you handle a kid like me in my day where basketball wasn't my main sport? It was more of a sport I did because I could play it, but it wasn't my best sport. And football was the main sport. So how do you handle that situations where I never was an open gym until I had to be when football ended. So how do you handle that scenario if a guy, you know, he's better at football, but he's serviceable, serviceable at basketball? And how do you deal with that player or guy? Was that something that you want in your program in these times?
So you're gonna think this is the craziest thing that you've probably ever heard. We haven't had any dual sport athletes since I've been there. We haven't had not one. Every kid who plays for Coral Gables basketball, their only sport is basketball. We have not had another kid. And it's not just like we won't take them, it's just for what we're trying to do, man, we need to be locked in. We need everybody locked in. And not saying we're against it, because for sure, if there was a kid who played football who helped our team, we 100% would have him with us. But it just hasn't fallen that way. We've been very, very, very picky on the players that we've been able to bring into Coral Gables. They've been one sport athletes, which is just basketball, which means I also get them year round. Our regimen is tough. So for me to ask a kid who just went through a tough day of football practice to say, "Hey man, we still got workouts at 7:30. Can you make it?" That's hard to do, but it's just for our program, that just hasn't been something that we've been able to feel, just because it's all the time and it's hard to play another sport while doing what we're trying to commit to. Not against it, but we just haven't had to deal with it yet.
Well, Coach, I definitely can understand why you don't have people just volunteering. Not a lot of people want to do three times. And the thing that I can, compliment you the most about is your young men, your players. They hold each other accountable, and you're on the court or you're on the other side, looking at things. And I like to sit by the group that's not in on the floor. And to see how they're locked in, you don't have to tell them. A lot of coaches, they make sure their kids come in and shake the whatever college coach is in the gym. You don't have to tell them that. Like, you talk to them, you let them know what the schedule is the next day, and then boom, the first thing they do, first of all, when I walk in, they give me a greeting, and the first thing they do is come in and shake my hand. And just like to give my condolences to prayers to Ethan. He's a great young man. He's one of the ones, the first ones to come and greet me, and I did not know that his dad passed away. And I think I was there around the time, and it didn't show on the court, which is a testament to his toughness and his focus. So definitely want to give prayers to him and his family, and to your program, Coach. You're doing an awesome job, and I believe you guys will win the state championship. As a matter of fact, that's the only message I have for your guys when I talk to them.